Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 41. Let's hear this word of the Lord. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Our parents gave us a lot of rules and regulations. Our moms and dads told us, you got to be in by the time the street lights come on. Be home by curfew. Don't play with that. No roughhousing in the car. Put your seat belts on. You know, and then, of course, the government. Speed limits, 55, 65, 70, don't exceed the speed limit. Wear a helmet when you're riding a bike. Wear a helmet when you're riding a bike. My head's already big enough now. I put a helmet on there, I look like a giant watermelon riding around on a bike. There's all kinds of rules, you know, I mean, Surgeon General warnings, rules on medicines. All these rules and regulations. My father-in-law, Bonnie's dad, he was cantankerous and ornery and just lovable as all get out. I loved his phrase, and I've always repeated it. He always said, "Save me from the people trying to save me." Because he was tired of everybody telling him what to do and what he couldn't do. But you know all those rules and regulations? We were given those rules and regulations because people cared about us. That was why they were given to us, to keep us safe, because our parents loved us. Hell, Sheol, Gehenna, lake of fire and brimstone, eternal punishment. H-E double toothpicks. It's real. It is an actual place created by God. It was created for the devil and his cohorts to be cast in there at the end of time, to be in there for eternity. It is a place of eternal punishment, pain, and suffering. It is real. And God created it because he loves us. Because he wanted to give us motivation. Because he doesn't want us to turn our backs on him. Because he doesn't want us to reject his plan of salvation, which is only through Jesus Christ. And so he gave us an option. Heaven. Rivers of life. Gold pavement. Many mansions. Joy, beauty, peace, or hell. Fire and brimstone. A place where the Bible says that the worm always eats. Let me skip right to this. Matthew 13, verse 50. Hell is a furnace of fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is also outer darkness. where there is also weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 9:48 says, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. You will be sick. Sick to death, and yet you can't die. You will be in pain and suffering and agony, and yet you cannot die. And there is no end to it. There are no days off, no vacations, and it is eternal. It will drive you stark, raving mad. Revelation 14:10, he will be tormented with fire and brimstone. Lazarus and the rich man. Remember the story? Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was a beggar who laid outside the gate of the rich man. And the rich man just ignored him day after day, year after year. Then came the day when Lazarus died, the rich man died. And the rich man found himself in hell, where he was so tormented, so full of pain and suffering, so hot, parched, that he could look up, and this made it even worse, he could look up and see Lazarus reclining on the chest of Abraham. And he said, please, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down to me so that he can dip his finger in the water and just touch my lips. I just need that much respite, please. Abraham says, nope, made your bed, you got to lay in it. This is it. Lazarus has earned his reward here in heaven. You've earned yours there. And he says, well, then please send Lazarus to my brothers to warn them about this place. Abraham says, it's already been done. See, he was referring to Jesus. Lazarus was in hell, suffering for all eternity. Now, it says that hell is eternal and irreversible. Revelation 14:11, the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Revelation 20:14, this is the second death, the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15, if anyone's name was not found in the book, written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Hell is real. People don't believe it. People think that this life is all there is. But you got to ask yourself, what happens when I die? People, we have to ask them, what do you think is going to happen to you when you die? Because death can come at a moment's notice. Tomorrow is promised to no one. None of us have a right to think we're going to live, well, for years, let alone another day. Last week, I got a text from a parishioner's family down in Carmichael's area. Missy, one of my parishioners down there, her dad, 75 years old, was active, healthy, sharp as a tack. Lived on his own on a farm, cutting down a tree, and it fell on him and killed him. Gone, just like that. Bonnie and I were working on that grill Friday. Let me tell you, Friday. My grill was falling apart. The burner was bad. I had it for years. And we've been grilling out a lot. I don't know if you've been to the parsonage, but it's got that back porch with the roof over it. So rain or shine, I can grill out, and I like that. So I've been grilling out a lot. And I needed a new grill. I needed a new grill, right, men? So we went and got this new grill at Walmart. And when we were getting it, they had one already put together. I'm just going to put that in the back of the truck, take it home. It was missing a spring to hold down this lid on top of the one side. The one side is charcoal, so it's got this cap on the stovepipe. Well, anyways. I said, that's no big deal. I'll find a spring to put on there from an ink pen or something, you know.
He said, yeah, that'll work, the salesman. Bonnie says, where's the manual on it? And I said, here we go. Yeah. Guy says, I don't know where the manual's at. And Bonnie says, well, there's a brand new box over there with a grill in it. I said, yeah, take the manual out of there, give us that, and we'll be gone. And he says, nope, can't do that. You got to take that grill as it is. It was exactly the same price as the one in the box. They were on sale. Bonnie says, well, then in that case, we'll take the new one. He says, well, you'll have to put it all together, and they're pretty complicated. She goes, we'll take the new one. So we took the new one, got it home, opened it up, put all the pieces out. It was really packaged well. I was impressed. And the instructions said, can be assembled in 1 hour. 3 hours later, we were finishing it up. Got it put together. Bonnie went in the house. And I went and I thought, I'm going to fire this up. So I took the propane tank off my old grill and put it on the new grill. Now remember, my point here is that death can come at any time. Hooked up the hose and everything, and I turned the burners on. They clicked, and the one burner caught. The second burner barely caught. But I saw a lot of light. There was flame coming somewhere, and I looked underneath, and the propane tank was on fire. The fitting was not good. Old tank, new fitting, that just wasn't a good match, and there's flame shooting up everywhere. And I hesitated for the fraction of a second thinking, run or try to turn the knob off, which was surrounded by flames. I had a towel sitting up here. I grabbed the towel, threw it over top of the knob, which the propane immediately went through the towel, but I got two twists in on the handle when I had to pull the towel away, shake out the flames, threw the towel back on, two twists, and I'm thinking, this is going to blow up. It's going to kill me. It's going to kill me. I'm going to die. And then the third time, I was able to shut it off, and it was out. It could have blown up. I mean, all of us live with that. You know, don't pay attention when you're driving, step out in the street, trip and fall. Death is right there. We live with death every day. We were all, when we picked up the grill, we put it in the back of the truck, and I said, let's go eat. And so we're driving down 30, and we're thinking, where are we going to eat? She goes, how about Red Lobster? I said, okay. It's down past Westmoreland Mall. So we're driving down on 30, and I'm in the far lane, and I'm looking for the Red Lobster. I knew it was right down here somewhere, and all of a sudden looked up, and my lane was coming to an end. So I had to get over. Well, there was a motorcycle next to me, so I just moved over a little bit, thinking he'll pull up and I get in behind him. My window was down. And he wobbled, he looked at me, and he cussed me a blue streak. Then he zipped up the road. He pulled in the Red Lobster. We went right by. Bonnie says, we're not eating there, huh? I said, no way. Turned around and came back. I forget where we went, but yeah. Because I figured death can come at any time. But because of that, because we live with death, we have to tell people. We have to be ready to die. Because hell is waiting. Fire and brimstone, eternal punishment, is waiting for those who don't believe in Jesus. That is the only way to get out of going to hell. And let me tell you, if you can come to Jesus because you're afraid to go to hell, great. Because after you meet Jesus, you'll fall in love with him. And you'll believe in Jesus. But if it's hell that motivates you to seek Jesus, good. Because God created hell because he loves us. Because if there were no hell and no punishment, we would do whatever we wanted. And we would hurt ourselves and others. We would ruin our lives. We wouldn't need God because there's no fear of punishment. Jails, prisons are proof of that. They're full of people who just don't have any respect for life, no fear of punishment. Somebody told me the other day, you know, it used to be when you got into an argument with somebody, you used your fists. He said, today people just pull guns out and shoot you. Road rage. Road rage, that term has become so popular today. We used to yell at each other, maybe flip each other off. Now we're running each other off the road and beating each other with tire irons and shooting each other. And we have laws that protect you if you shoot somebody from inside your car. The Castle Doctrine. What has the world come to? There's hell, and it's real. People who don't believe it, we need to tell them about it. We need to convince them. Bible says it's real. And if they say, well, I don't believe the Bible, and then you just tell them about the first mover. You tell them that there's an order to the universe. You can't deny it. If you look around you at the way creation exists, how everything exists, how there's an order to the universe. How do you think that somebody made out of all these cells and nerve endings and tissue, soft tissue, how do we survive day after day? It's God. Because God has created everything. God has a plan, including hell. We've got to tell the world. Hell is real. But it's also there because God loves us. So, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. God loves you and so do I.